Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, head to our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Coming up, Sarah, who's going to do our Bible reading for us today?
Morning, church. So I'm reading Acts chapter 3, 1 to 10. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking, praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him.
All right, our second reading is from Acts chapter 9, verses 32 to 38. It says, "As Peter traveled about the country, he went to visit the Lord's people who lived in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who was paralyzed and had been bedridden for 8 years. "Aeneas," Peter said to him, "Jesus Christ heals you. Get up, roll up your mat." Immediately, Aeneas got up, and all those who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. Okay, my name's Becky. I have the privilege of being one of the site pastors here. And I get to talk to you today in our Kingdom Ministry series. So we've been talking about how God is real and how he invites us to see him doing supernatural things in our lives in order to show other people that he's real and that he loves them. And we're going to continue our series today by talking about healing and how we might pray for people. And what I'm not going to do is truck out someone special in a suit who is going to do that for us. In the Vineyard, we believe that's very ordinary people who get to do extraordinary things. So this is a story that we can all participate in. That's the idea. So I'm going to talk about why healing. Why would I talk about something that probably is a little bit weird, especially if you don't normally come to church? Or maybe it's a hard topic for some people, and they're like, "Well, I know that God is good, but I also know I'm living with something very, very difficult that's actually been my story for a long time. Why do we keep talking about that?" And then we'll talk about why, and we'll talk about how. Okay, if we believe that God is good and he loves us and he wants to do things in people's lives, how do we compassionately and thoughtfully pray for each other? So why healing? Well, the biggest reason that we keep talking about healing as Christians is because the Bible keeps talking about healing. And we want to come together and we want to hear from God from the Bible. In our first reading today, that man that Sarah read about, he was well known to those around him. He's begging outside the temple in Jerusalem. He looks at Peter and John thinking, "I might get some money from you." And actually, he gets even more than he's expecting. Peter speaks to him, prays for him, and he's able to walk around and even jump about and praise God. The Bible is absolutely full of stories like this. Incredible, miraculous, and honestly, slightly unbelievable things. Okay? This might be strange and a bit new to you. It definitely was when I first became a Christian. I thought these people not only believe that God exists, but also that he's real and he does things now. That's honestly very strange, but it's very exciting. There's something exciting about that. Jesus especially does this in all the stories about him, and so do his followers. And so the idea that that's happening today in the church, it's odd, but it's exciting. We had a really similar thing happen, actually, to this story to one of our friends in London on a Sunday afternoon. We used to meet for church in a theatre in Soho, and there were often lots of homeless people and kind of street culture people hanging around outside there. Now, this might guy used to come and sit outside church. He knew it was a good place to get given a sandwich or some money or have someone chat to him, which you'd hope, actually. If you're like, "Where shall I go to find nice people in London on Sunday afternoon? I'll go to church." Like, that's great, isn't it, that church would have that reputation? You'd hope so. So So my friend Chris, every time he saw this man, used to sit down with him, talk to him, buy him a sandwich, get to know him. And one day he noticed that the guy had come and his ankle was all kind of bound up and he was using crutches. He asked, okay, what happened to you? And the guy, he had the story and he asked, do you mind if I pray for you? Well, as Chris prayed, put his hand on him and prayed, the guy started off looking a little bit skeptical. Then he started looking surprised. And then he started being excited. And by the time Jeff and I got there, he was running up and down the street shouting, God's healed my ankle. He was completely better. So then we were like, that's pretty amazing. We don't see that every day. This guy's been outside our church for ages, but this is new. And so we got very excited too, and we told that story to our friend Lydia. Lydia is not a Christian. She will tell you that very adamantly, especially if you tell her that you are. And so we said, this happened. What do you think about that? And she said, well, actually, that makes it very difficult for me. I know you wouldn't lie to me. You're my friends. But if that's true, if that really, really happened, then I have to change everything I think, don't I? I have to change everything I believe. She's not wrong, is she? If there really is a God and he really does want to change things and he's really available and powerful, then that we need to believe the evidence if we see that, don't we? And that's probably the first reason that we want to pray for people for healing and for things to really happen for them, because it makes people ask questions. Wow, there really is a God who makes a difference. And actually, your story can be really helpful with this. So if you're here and you've been following Jesus for a while, my guess is that you probably have a story. It might be a physical healing that someone's prayed for you and helped you feel better with something. Someone prayed for my back last year after I hadn't been able to walk very well for a couple of months, and I wasn't expecting this. They were actually praying for something else, and I felt very warm and weird, and then it was gone, and the pain was gone. And then I got to pray for a couple of other people for different back-related things, and a lot of them saw a level of healing as well. We have stories, but that might not be your story. Your story might be, look, I've just seen God help me with like feeling distressed or feeling unhappy, or I've seen God give me a job when that wasn't possible, or I've seen God give me a family when that wasn't possible. Or whatever your story is, it is really powerful to tell people there really is a God and he really does love you and he has a good plan for your life. And that's the other reason we want to pray for people and we want to tell our stories, is because it demonstrates God's power and his goodness. Now, we've been doing this series, we've been doing it in the book of Acts specifically. There's a book after the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's a book in the New Testament which talks about what the disciples and followers of Jesus did after Jesus left and went back into heaven. And so I thought, okay, we're talking about healing. We're going to do it from Acts. I know this is a tough subject. I know there's a lot to say. So why don't I read through Acts and see what it is that what actually happens there, rather than sort of making it up as I go along, which is usually good if you're trying to present a talk to people. You do a bit of reading first. So there are 10 places in the book of Acts where something happens that we'd say was a healing. 6 of these are individuals. So one person, like this story that we heard, or the 2 stories we heard, one person is picked out in a crowded place as part of a group and healed by someone who follows Jesus. Now, of those, only 2 are part of a Christian community. So the story Jeff read, Aeneas, he's part of the people of the Lord. Someone comes, prays for him, and he's healed. And then everyone goes, wow, that was amazing. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about Jesus. Most of the other 4 are all people outside the church. Okay, this is important, actually, I think. There are 4 other points in the story where people who follow Jesus and love Jesus, very ordinary people, are doing just a lot of miracles at the same time. They're talking about Jesus, and as they're talking about him and saying, this was God, and he loves you, and he's real, and he has a good plan for your life, they're also praying for people, and they're seeing what the Bible talks about as signs and wonders, which, if it helps, is a sign that makes you wonder, a sign that points to something, something that says there's something over here to look at. I wonder what that is. Signs and wonders. They're seeing a lot of people healed. But again, it's happening outside the church. It's happening as people are sharing stories and talking about Jesus. And I noticed a couple of things when I was looking through these different healing stories in Acts. There are 2 things that mark all of these healing stories, and those 2 things are compassion and mission. What do you mean by compassion? Well, look at what Peter does. Someone is begging outside the temple. Someone can't even go into worship, can't be part of the community because they can't walk. And this is 2,000 years ago. This is a society that doesn't have benefits. It doesn't have a social care system. This person isn't going to eat and isn't going to be looked after unless strangers decide to help him. And so Peter says, I can help you, but I can give you something better. And so he says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he takes him by the hand, which is in itself a really compassionate thing to do, isn't it? It's a very gentle thing to do. He helps him, and instantly the man's feet and ankles become strong. Peter has compassion on the person, and you see this again and again with Jesus. Jesus is not horrible. When people come to him for prayer or he sees them with a problem, he's never nasty or unkind or bullying, or he does things really deeply, compassionately. And actually, that's why God wants actually to come and help us, is because he cares. He's compassionate. And look what happens afterwards. So in both cases, after someone's been healed, the disciples and the people and their friends, they all start talking about Jesus. It's an opportunity to then say, hey, there's a God who's real, and he loves you, and his name is Jesus, and he has a good plan for your life. So there's compassion, but there's also this mission part. Peter and John knew Jesus. They watched him teach, and they watched him do miracles. They saw that he wasn't an ordinary person. In fact, they called him the Messiah, or the Christ, which means the one who was sent from God, and they worship him as God. These guys watched Jesus die, and then they saw him and talked to him after he rose from the dead. You remember I said the Bible's full of stuff that's a bit unbelievable, a bit exciting. These men had this story of watching someone come back from the dead, not kind of like a zombie, like in a horrible sort of way, but in this amazing way, with a brand new body that was completely healed and set free. And they were like, that's the story that God is taking us on. That's the story I want to tell. My friends Jackie and Duncan, who are around somewhere, they go out once or twice a month, I think, with Healing on the Streets in central Birmingham. And they see healing and people being set free and people coming to say yes to Jesus every single month. I went out with them one afternoon and we saw two people healed of different things. One person who just set free of something that had made her really unhappy for a long time, and one person who decided to say yes to Jesus for the first time. Now, that's not, I wasn't leading all those prayers, I just got to see it and be part of it. But that was, I saw more in 2 hours in the afternoon in central Birmingham than we see in months often in the church. Now, that's not to say that Jesus doesn't love the church, okay? If you're here and you're in a church, God loves you, but it's because Jesus really also loves the people who are not here yet. If your story is that Jesus has changed you or touched you or helped you or walked with you, then think about all the people who haven't had that story, who are desperate for help or for someone to walk with them or to know that God loves them or know that God is real. And actually what Jesus said is he sends us to go and do the same things, to go and send us to bring the love of God to people and to tell them all about him. His gifts are meant to be shared, especially with people who don't know him and really need him. So if you'd love to see more healing, if you'd love to see God break through in people's lives, then it might be that compassion for those people and then telling them about Jesus' mission is the things that we need to do. So I said about signs and wonders, I said about what signs points to something. What is it that these things point to? Why would we heal? What are healings and breakthroughs for people pointing to? Well, so before I started coming to church, I was 22, and I basically thought that Christians believed in the Sistine Chapel. Do you know what I mean by that? We've got a picture. Yeah, that's very odd, isn't it? I thought that God and the angels and everyone were sort of floating about naked, looking like 15th century Italians, and that was what Christians hoped for. And honestly, I was like, I don't really want that. If I'm honest, I don't think that's going to happen. That seems a bit weird, and I don't want that. Now, it is the hope of Christians that God will scoop up our spirit when we die and go and be with him. But that's not the main teaching of the Bible. That's almost like a side note, because that's not going to be what happens forever. The Bible begins with the creation of an incredible, perfect universe, a world where there isn't any pain and there isn't any sickness and there isn't any death. And God walks around with people in this wonderful spiritual and relational communion. And the Bible ends actually with the same picture, except there's a city, not just a garden, there's a city as well. There's lots of people living with God, him walking with them. There's a wonderful place at the end of the Bible where it talks about this hope, and it says, The dwelling of God will be with them. They will be his people and God will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And so Jesus comes, he says that it's here, that he is bringing some of that world now, but also that that world is going to come when he comes back. And so when we see someone healed of a disease or set free from something like fear or grief, or when someone is helped compassionately, or when they're welcomed into community despite their flaws, those are little tastes of what that kingdom will look like, what that hope for Christians looks like, what that hope for the world looks like. Something of who God is and what he's going to do starts happening here with us. So this is why healing is important, because it's a little taste of what that kingdom's going to be. I don't know if you do this. You go to the supermarket and there's a little person with a special sort of outfit. They've got a little stand and they've got the tasters out. Do you ever do that? You get a tiny slice or a little cup of something and you think, that's really nice. If you're anything like me, you've already hungry when you went to the supermarket and now you've eaten a crisp and you're like, oh no, now I need to go straight to the crisp aisle and buy more things. Healings are a little bit like, that's not to trivialize it, but healings and breakthrough that we see and things that God does now are a little bit like that. They're tasters, they're signs saying, Jesus loves you and he exists and he's powerful and he has a good plan for the world now and forever. Here's a little taste. So if you thought, wow, that's my whole lunch, right? If you were like, oh, this is it, this is what I get, you would be really disappointed, wouldn't you, by the taster. But if you go, wow, that's really nice and that makes me think that there's something wonderful coming, that would be a really good way to use a taster. And actually sharing some of that, what we've seen of the kingdom and who we've seen God be with us, doesn't mean that we have to be whole and healed and sorted out. We wouldn't be, would we? If we've just seen a little taste of what God can do, well, everything wouldn't be perfect for us. I know that for many of us, we might see God breakthrough in somebody in something that we haven't seen happen. We might be praying for someone to be healed and see them healed, but know that we are actually struggling with something in ourselves. This is a quote from Joni Erickson-Tada, who I love listening to and reading her stuff if you get a chance to. She's on YouTube and things. She was paralyzed from the neck down in a swimming accident just after she finished high school. And I wanted to just share a comment, because some of us might have heard things like, well, everyone with faith gets healed all the time. Or keep on praying for healing, otherwise you're faithless. Or maybe if God loved you, then he would always do whatever you asked. And I just want to say that isn't true. It is a taster of what God has. You have a story of how God has started to work on you if you follow him, but it won't be complete just yet. Joni Erickson-Tada says, he has chosen not to heal me, but to hold me. The more intense the pain, the closer his embrace. Following Jesus is about doing what he did, stepping out in compassionate faith to tell other people about him and show him who he is. And it's about doing that every day with the actual body we find ourselves in, with the money that we actually have, with how we really feel, with all the other things that worry us, all the other stuff that might be bothering us. We can only live for God truthfully, can't we? We do it honestly, we do it compassionately, we do it from a place of our own pain and our questions, but he loves to answer and he loves to show people who he is, so we can do it really faithfully as well, that he is going to bless the people that we pray for. So we're going to have some fun in a few minutes by praying for one another if you want to, okay? There's no pressure to do that, but you can if you'd like, or you can be prayed for. Now you can do this even if you've never done it before. Like we said, it's not a special person up the front. It's not a special, like, anything that happens here as humans. What it is Jesus being special and wanting to show us who he is. Okay, that means everyone can give it a go, because everyone can connect with Jesus. Before we do that, I'm going to give us some pointers on how we might want to pray, and I'm going to tell you a couple of stories while we do that as well. So one way to pray for people, there's not only one way, but this is how to, one way to pray for people, is to ask, then to listen, then to pray, and then to kind of engage a bit more with some prayer, and then post praying for someone to encourage them and bless them and send them on their way. So the first thing to do is to ask somebody. Now, what might happen is if you're outside of church, someone might just be describing something to you. So again, if we're starting compassionately, we often start with a conversation. So there was a lady at the checkout in Sainsbury's recently who'd hurt her wrist and she had it in a brace. And so I was like, I'm going to teach you on healing. I'll probably ask. And so I said, have you hurt your arm? And she said, yes, yeah, I have. And it's been making it really difficult today to do my job. And so I said, I'm from a church and we believe that God loves people and he wants to help them. So do you mind if I pray for you? And she said, no, that's fine. I said, do you mind if I put my hand on your arm very gently? And so I prayed for her very simply and just said, Jesus, would you come and heal this lady? And nothing obvious happened in a moment. And we kind of looked at each other for a minute and I said, God really loves you. And she went, thank you so much. And then she didn't cry, even though she looked like she wanted to. And I just said, bless you and thank you, and you've got a large queue, I will go. But honestly, anyone who ever is prayed for by one of us, I would love them to leave feeling blessed and loved even more than they did at the beginning, whatever happens. And it was actually just fun. And I know I see people in Sainsbury's quite a bit, so I'm hoping I can see her again and chat to her about it. In church, sometimes people will say the same. They might ask you for prayer, or you might notice they have an injury. So Fiona, there you are. About a year or so ago, you came up to me and said, I'm leading worship, but just so you know, I can't move my neck at all. which if you're looking at someone who is saying, I'm just about to sing for 100 people, but I can't move my head, and I'm in a lot of pain. Something kind of, I felt kind of sad for her. And then there was a bit of an extra sadness. Like actually there was almost an anger of like, no, this is wrong. This lady shouldn't have to do that. And so I said, do you mind if I pray? And this is church, so I'm felt a bit more comfortable maybe doing that. She said, that's fine. We're friends. So I said, can I put my hand on you? She said, that's fine. And again, I think I actually said something a bit odd. Like I think, yeah, I did, yeah. I think I said something like, in the name of Jesus, sort yourself out. I was a bit busy, had other stuff on my mind. Anyway, and then we both felt it, didn't we? This kind of pop or something. We heard it. It was really weird. So I should have got her to tell the story. It's good. We both kind of went, ooh, we weren't expecting that. Because we pray and we don't always see stuff. So when you do, it's very odd. Or hear things. And then she was able to completely move her neck really freely and sing and lead us in worship with no problem at all. So the first step is just to ask. Ask if you can pray, ask if you can lay hands, and ask specific questions, what's happening here. After you've asked, listen. So listen for wisdom. Sometimes God will be helping you understand what's happening with somebody. Sometimes there might be an emotional thing there that's happening with someone, or something like anger and trauma can often really be part of why someone might be coming for prayer. Now, sometimes people will ask you that. And tell you that that's why they want prayer. Maybe they don't want prayer for healing. They'd love just some peace or some help with a family problem, or they'd like a new job or something else that's very practical. Any of those things we can ask for. Now, just as we're listening to God and saying, okay, God, what might be going on with this person? Let's not forget, unless most of us are not professional doctors and we're not professional counselors, okay? If you were going to talk to me right now, I wouldn't be able to hear you particularly well, so I might get it wrong, right? Beam sat near the back there. If you can mishear a person in a busy room, you can mishear God, okay? And that's not to say we can't hear from him. It's just to say that if you feel like it might be this person's something that they've done wrong, it might be a sin, it might be a lack of faith, I really would never say that to somebody, honestly. I would really never say that to someone. You can do a lot of damage and you can get it wrong. Honestly, I find that if there's a problem like that with somebody, if something's happening with them that actually God wants to solve, then God will solve it. And as you're praying for them, they will be able to say that. God will make it really clear to them, and he is extremely compassionate and kind and able to talk to them. So I would say, if you think something like that might be happening, just pray and let God kind of speak that to them. I was praying for someone this week as we were at a leadership conference. And she asked if I could pray because she was having a problem with her bowel and her stomach. And that's obviously, that's a very personal thing to tell a stranger, and I hadn't met her before. And so she asked to pray. I said, is it all right if I put a hand on you? She'd always ask that. Is it all right if I put a hand on your stomach? Because it's very specific. She was happy, so we did that. And then as we were praying, I felt like there might be some other stuff happening with her. I didn't know what that was. So I just said, as we're praying, is there anything that's kind of coming to mind, anything you're remembering? Maybe there isn't, that's completely fine. But if there is, and you don't mind telling me, what would that be? And so she said, actually, there's been loads of grief in my family recently. We lost my brother-in-law, I lost my job, I was pregnant, and then that was very difficult, and there's just lots of grief. And she started to be very upset as we talked about this. And so in that situation, I was like, actually, I think God wants to help that person with as a holistic being, you know what I mean? He wants to help all of those things. And so just very gently, I said, okay, I think God wants to help with that. Why don't we pray? And we just very gently prayed for a while together. So as we're listening, we want to listen to the person, we want to listen to God, we want to be very gentle, and we want to help them kind of keep coming to God. As we select what prayer to pray, we can just be very, very simple. Ask God to heal. You can say something weird if you want. Like, actually, don't be weird in an unkind way, okay? There is no need for that. But just be yourself and go as simply as possible. Especially if they're outside the church, then I used to pray, just say, in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. That's fine. That's all Peter says, and it's fine. You can ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister. You ask Jesus to heal for them. And then as you're praying and you keep going, there's a kind of engagement with it. So keep your eyes open. Okay, I know this feels a bit weird, especially if the other person doesn't close their eyes and you're just sort of staring at each other. But that's completely fine. Like God is very happy to move and help us regardless of what happens. Okay, we don't have to try and make it some sort of super spiritual experience that we've imagined. God is real and he's here with us. You can keep asking them questions, keep finding out what's going on, see if they want to test what's happening or if they want to tell you a bit more. They don't have to. They really don't. You're there to bless them and connect them with God, okay? We're not there to find a nice story for ourselves or anything like that. And then when we stop, if you think they're done or if they say they're done, then just stop. If you run out of stuff to pray, you can stop. But if you want to wait, you can. And if they would like just to stay there, and you can see, sometimes you can see if someone's receiving from God. They often go very still, or they maybe start to just shake gently. And you can keep praying for them, or you can say, just keep receiving, and they can do that on their own, because Jesus is working on them. And then lastly, just after you pray for somebody, check in with them. How are they doing? How do they feel? Are they okay? And you might be checking for if there's an obvious change. Maybe there's, like with my back, there was just an obvious, or Fiona's neck, an obvious change in that second. With this lady with the stomach problem, she wouldn't have known. She won't know for a few days or weeks if anything's changed there, probably. But what you want to do is just make sure that they leave that prayer time feeling loved and safe and like God cares about them and has a good plan for their life. Okay, so we want to make sure that's what happens. So you can encourage them. Anytime I have prayed for somebody and said, God, would you bless this person or give me a word of kindness for them, he does that all the time, 100%. Of the people that I've prayed for God to show them he's kind, he does, because he is all the time. If they feel like there has been a change, they can test it out gently. But I would absolutely stress that if someone feels like I'm healed, so I should stop taking my medication or I should leave my crutch at the door, don't do that. They need to check in with their doctor. You are not their doctor. They must kind of go and talk about that with their doctor. If they'd like to keep praying, they can keep praying. If they'd like to come back again next week and keep praying for them or pray for them by text, you can keep doing that. It's also okay if someone says, do you know what, I don't want to pray for this anymore. That is fine. If someone wants to say, do you know what, God is holding me and I'm okay and I just want to walk through this situation with him. I don't think he's going to heal me. That's okay. Actually, we don't force an idea or desire for our desire for someone else onto them. That's between them and Jesus. So we can just pray for them gently in that way too. Okay. That was a lot of information and a lot of ideas on how we want to do stuff. Okay. What we tend to do at this service is we will have a song or two of worship just to remind us that this isn't about anything I've said particularly. It's about God. It's about Jesus and what he wants to do. here in this space. So we'll have a song or two of worship, and then what we're going to do is invite people to be prayed for, to pray for others, to pray for Aoife using the dedication book, or honestly, if you just need some time to sit and to chat to God about something or just sit in this space, you are very, very welcome to do that. That's fine. And then after we've worshipped, we'll let people go and pray. So just as the band come up to lead us, I wonder, if you're able to and you'd like to, whether you'd stand. God, we stand in this place together. We stay in this place together, each of us with a story. Those of us who follow you, we have a story of how you've broken into our lives, how you've helped us, how you've looked after us, how you've held us, how you've healed us sometimes, how you've been with us always. But Lord, whether we know you or not, we also come with other stories of where we would love to see change, where we would love to have your help, where we would love to have something come around us and heal us and change things. And so, Lord God, we want to come to this worship time honestly, and we want to come with faith that you are real and you love us and you have a good plan for the world, and that we can taste a little bit of that as we pray and we worship today. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
We'd love to welcome you to one of our gatherings. We meet in multiple locations at multiple times on Sundays, as well as in midweek small groups across the city. More information on all of these can be found at our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
Thanks for listening. Have a great day and God bless.